Eddie, the Collegiate Senior. Chapter 10. The Final Twist, Part 2. Walking around the pool area, Kathy asks, "Okay. So, now where were we?" Eddie replies, "You were going to check the skimmers, and I was going to check the water." Mark comments, "I was about to cut the lawn before you guys called." Eddie replies, "Your yard is all hardscape or natural." Mark tells Eddie, "I have about 200 square feet of lawn near the front door." Paula mentions, "I have a load of laundry going. Lucky me." Kathy reassures everyone, "Wow. It sounds like we all have a normal life now." Paula replies, "Not after this morning, girl. There's nothing normal about that." Mark and Paula head home to finish their errands and will be back later for the party. Kathy checks the skimmers and announces, "Good news. No dead frogs." Eddie replies, "Awesome. And the pool chemistry is good." Kathy opens the umbrellas to the tables and tells Eddie, "I think we're okay outside." Eddie asks, "What else is left inside?" Kathy replies, "Nothing. I put everything out last night. All we need is to take out the drinks when the guests and pizza arrive." Kathy asks, "So, I guess it's time to head to the station to pick up Paula and Mark's bus." Eddie replies, "Yeah. Let's do that now." Eddie and Kathy head over to the service station to pick up the Volkswagen bus, which Eddie and Bobby B. finished late last week. Around 11 a.m., Mark and Paula drive up the driveway in their June buggy. Eddie, at the detached garage, is checking over Mark and Paula's bus one more time. Mark suddenly stops at the detached garage. Paula jumps out of the June buggy and exclaims, "It's all done." Eddie replies, "Yeah. I finished it late last week. It runs really good." Mark parks the June buggy and joins Eddie and Paula. Eddie asks Mark and Paula, "Do you guys want to take it for a test drive?" Without hesitation, Paula replies, "Yeah. We're going on a test drive, and I'm driving." Eddie hands Paula the keys and tells her, "See you in a while." Paula, who has driven Kathy's Volkswagen bus several times, gets behind the wheel. Mark gets in, and Paula drives away. By late morning, everyone has arrived. Paula and Mark are back from their test drive, and the core group of the tribe is together. While waiting for the pizza to be delivered, everyone relaxes by the pool. Eddie gives the good news that the town has been officially dissolved, and that the county police will be taking over the building on October 1st. This is good news to Mark and Bobby B., who live in the area, because their tax bill will be cut in half, and Captain Hayes will literally be right around the corner. Along the course of discussing politics, Eddie mentions they should limit politicians to 2 terms. One term in office, and the other in prison. Mark replies, "Ain't that the truth? Who knows how much money that Jameson clown stole from us?" Eddie informs Mark and Bobby B., "John Davies is working on that. Jameson's bank accounts are locked down. If there's any money to get back, he'll get it for us." Mark replies, "Good. It's not that I need the money. I just don't want Jameson to have it." While they are on the subject of money, Johnson asks Eddie, "How's the stock market looking for the next year?" Eddie explains, "For the next year, it looks like it's going to decline. But I'm not worried about it." Eddie is not worried about his stock picks because he travels to the future to see which stocks will increase in value most. Using Eddie's methodology, he cannot lose. Johnson mentions, "What's all this I hear about annuities and something called a 401k? Eddie asks, "Where did you hear about that?" Johnson replies, "Some of the teachers at the high school are always talking about how their retirement plans are doing. They have money taken out of their paycheck every month." Eddie explains, "You don't want to mess with something like that, especially a 401k. You're not seeing any of that money until you retire." you'd be better off buying a house and renting it out. Or buy a utility stock that pays high dividends. That's what Mr. Fraser and Mr. Zunde both do. Then, you can start collecting your retirement check now. Braden, who has been acting on Eddie's stock advice, mentions, we got something like that over at the university too. I ain't messing with it. It don't make no sense to me to put all that money away until I retire when I can be making money now. And that means I can spend it now. Wendy asks Braden, so, when are we going to the Florida Keys again? Braden replies, whenever we want. See? That's exactly my point. If I put all that money away in a 401k, we ain't gonna get to the Keys until I retire. Eddie asks Braden, by the way, how's your house coming along, bro? Braden replies, Mark got the hardwood floors in, and he replaced all the appliances. And the inside is all painted. And your brother about has the landscaping done. Wendy mentions, I'm so glad we got rid of that ugly light in the kitchen. Kathy laughs and tells Wendy, that's the first thing we got rid of out of this place. The kitchen light was so ugly. Wendy replies, I'll never get it. They put a beautiful chandelier in the dining room, nice fixtures in the bathrooms, and a stupid-looking fluorescent fixture in the kitchen. Continuing where he left off, Braden tells the group, we'll be moving furniture in sometime soon. After our wedding, it will be all ready to move into. Wendy comments, 63 more days. Wendy has obviously been counting down the days to her wedding. Paula exclaims, wow. That's coming up faster than I thought. Kathy mentions, I'm just glad it's after I have my baby. I just hope that my dress fits. Paula panics and exclaims, I was measured when I was 1 month pregnant. My dress isn't going to fit. Kathy tells Paula, you haven't picked up your dress yet. Tell them to make it one size bigger around the waist. You'll be fine. Paula sighs and replies, I hope you're right. Quietly sitting with the group, Mitchell comments, wow. We're all beginning to sound like adults now. Mark tells Mitchell and everyone else around, this is the moment you've been waiting for your whole life. Eddie asks, does that mean we have to behave ourselves now? Mark replies, no. I just have to find new people to mess with. Johnson points out, yeah. That's because everyone you've ever messed with is in jail now. Paula laughs and adds, that's because Mark messed up their minds forever. Rattling off a few names of people he's messed with in the past, Mark comments, let's see. There are four McCrutchins, Jimmy O'Brien, Mr. O'Brien, Chucky, Goldshit, Mr. Crumb, Dean Grimsby. Wow. You're right. They are all in jail. Johnson replies, of course, I'm right. Kathy quickly points out, Chucky isn't in jail. He's in a sanitarium. Braden tells Kathy, there ain't no difference. His ass is locked up. It's not like his ass can just get up and walk out of there anytime he wants. Wendy tells Braden, yeah. It's not like they can lock his ass up, and not the rest of him too. The rest of his body will have to follow his ass. And it's not like his ass can leave all by itself. Paula points out, if the rest of his body follows his ass, he'd be walking backwards. Everyone laughs at Wendy's interpretation of Braden's remarks, not quite expecting a comment like that out of Wendy today. At around noon, the pizza arrives. Eddie, Kathy, and a few others go to help Arianna unload the van. Paula runs inside to get some plates and cups. Since it is nice outside and only a few guests are gathered today, it is decided to eat outside by the pool. Over lunch, Kathy asks Barbara, how's the team looking this year at the high school? Barbara replies, we're definitely expecting to have a good year, especially with the seniors taking track and field at the university with Mr. Fraser and Athena. Eddie mentions, I bet they're looking forward to that. Barbara replies, I agree. It's not everyone who gets a chance to train with a university track team and a coach like Mr. Fraser. Eddie replies, I meant getting out of high school for a few hours a day. Barbara laughs, telling Eddie, when I was in high school, I would have relished the chance to get out of that place, if even for a few hours. Tessa asks Braden, speaking about high school, how is Mr. Crum doing these days? Braden replies, if you ask me, they really ought to transfer his ass to some other prison. Wendy points out, and the rest of his body too. You can't put his ass in one prison and the rest of him in another one. Braden laughs and continues, I'm not so sure about that. They probably kick his ass so hard in there that it flies right off his body. Wendy asks, which ass? The one on top of his legs, or the one on top of his neck? Braden tells Wendy, I don't see no difference between the two. Finishing his story, Braden continues, so, as I was saying, my father says Mr. Crum gets his ass kicked in there every day. So, to get out of his ass kicking, he's always complaining that he's sick. Then, they have to drag his flimsy ass to sick bay. That's his hideout. It's the only place he doesn't get his fat ass kicked. Erica comments, he's sick all right. He's sick in the head. Erica, whom Mr. Crum was constantly badgering about something, remembers life at the high school quite well. Mark warns Eddie, you'd better watch out. When Mr. Crum gets out of prison, he's going to come after you. He's going to want his house back. And he's going to want his Volkswagen Beetle back too. Eddie laughs and replies, you mean, if he gets out of prison. Braden then reveals, the bad news is his ass is eligible for probation in 4 or 5 years, if he makes it that long. Johnson observes, wow. He'll get out just in time for our 10-year reunion. Just the thought of Mr. Crum showing up at the class 10-year reunion causes everyone to break out in laughter. During the laughter, Kathy whispers to Paula, what's gotten into Wendy today? Paula whispers back, I don't know. She's usually kind of quiet. Kathy replies, not today. Paula whispers, maybe she's all energetic because Braden graduated and they are getting married. Kathy whispers back, that could be. Paula whispers, ask her what's up. Kathy blurts out, hey, Wendy. What's up? Wendy replies, about what? Kathy laughs and replies, you're a bit out of character today. Wendy smiles and tells Braden, see? What did I tell you? Braden replies, okay, I'll let you in this one. Kathy asks, are we missing something here? Braden replies, yeah. Wendy's somehow thinking that I use the word ass way too much, and our kids are gonna be running around telling everyone, I'm gonna kick your ass, or his ass is in prison. Mark comments, she might be right about that, bro. Braden explains, the way I see it, it's easier to teach the kids to be the chief ass kicker in their sport than it is to change the way they talk. Wendy points out, what do you mean, the way they talk? Their asses haven't even been born yet. Coming to his defense as everyone laughs, Braden exclaims, that don't matter none. They are still gonna talk like everyone else in school. Wendy laughs, seeing that Braden totally missed her use of the word ass in her last statement. Mark tells Braden, I see your point, bro. You certainly don't want to raise any wimps like Jimmy O'Brien. Eddie adds, yeah. That wouldn't be good. Braden asks everyone, you guys know what's gonna happen when they lock Mr. O'Brien and Jimmy O'Brien up, don't you? Mark asks, what's going to happen to them? Braden explains, when they get to prison, somebody's gonna make them their slave. Their owner is gonna rent them out for candy bars and anything else they can get. The O'Brien and O'Brien maid service is gonna be making beds and cleaning the other inmates' toilets for them. As long as they do what they are told, they'll be protected. If their asses fall out of line, they'll get their ass kicked by their owner. Then, somebody else will pick them up as a slave. If they become snitches, they are gonna get roughed over real good, just like Mr. Crumb. In a prison, snitches get stitches. Mark comments, I guess that's the price you pay for messing with people's scholarships. On the subject of law enforcement, Eddie curiously asks Braden, how is Terry Haynes doing? Is she still in jail? Braden replies, yeah. From what I hear, she ain't getting out early. They put her ass in with the rough crowd. She's gonna be doing a lot of time for pulling a gun on an officer's daughter. Eddie was asking only to obtain validation of what Captain Hayes relayed earlier. Eddie is now satisfied that Haynes, who entered Eddie's pool area earlier with Chucky, is from the Red Universe. With the subject of Haynes brought up, Hoffa comments, I wish the Chucky weren't British. I hate to think that Jerk is from the same country that I'm from. Tessa, who is half German and half British, replies, yeah, seriously. The Chucky must have gotten all the bad genes. We got the good ones. Mark asks Tessa, are you saying that the Chucky is genetic junk? Tessa replies, exactly. Genetic junk. Only someone who is genetic junk would throw a javelin at someone. Eddie comments, I remember that day. There's definitely something wrong with that guy. Braden exclaims, I remember that day too. That was the best ass kicking that ever came down. Johnson comments, and we've seen a couple of really good ass kickings in our lives. But that one takes the cake. Braden replies, ain't that the truth? Mark shakes his head and mentions, there must be something really wrong with the Chucky. That guy has way too many problems. Braden is quick to reply, Chucky's only got one problem. His only problem is that he's still alive. Every time his ass shows up somewhere, someone's kicking it. He's just like McCrutchen. He probably wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, and asks himself, I wonder how I'm gonna get my ass kicked today. One of these days, his ass is gonna run into the wrong person. Mark laughs, telling Braden, you might be right about that. With the subject on the past, Kathy reminisces, you know, when we pulled all that Amazon women crap, that coach, what's his name, must have been really stupid. Johnson interjects, asking, do you mean Mr. Ruff? Kathy replies and continues, yeah. Mr. Ruff, Mr. Lyons, and Mr. Parker. Those guys must have been really stupid. None of us even look like we're from the Amazon. Barbara mentions, I, for one, am from Britain. My accent kind of gives it away. Johnson tells Barbara, yeah. You don't even look like you're from the Amazon. Paula mentions to everyone, wow. We've been together as a group for almost a decade, and I never knew Tessa was half German and half British. Tessa suggests, maybe we should go around the table and everyone could tell us where they are from. Revealing what everyone already knows, Paula replies, I'm Italian. From both sides, I'm Italian. And a calzone is still a pizza, no matter how you cut it. Kathy relents and tells Paula, okay. I'll let you win this one. Paula replies, that's because I'm right. Mark asks Paula, are you sure the name Giovanni isn't from the Amazon? Paula laughs and replies, not in this universe. Tessa asks Kathy, what nationality is Karakova? I've never known anyone else with that name. Kathy replies, I'm the enemy. My family is originally from the USSR. So, when you hear the Russians are going to blow us up, that would be me. Everyone laughs as Kathy continues, but some of my ancestors are from Eastern Europe. Eddie comments, I guess that makes me the enemy too. My family is originally from Russia, but my grandparents lived and worked in Eastern Europe. Then, they came to this country. Bobby B. points out, I remember when we had all those air raid drills, and they told us it was because of the Russians. Eddie replies, yeah, bro. That was me and Kathy. Paula tells Mark, Mark, tell everyone where you're from. Mark replies, Everyone knows where I'm from. Erica comments, I don't. Paul announces, Mark's family is originally from Czechoslovakia. Correcting Paula, Mark tells everyone, it's the Czech Republic. Bobby B. comments, that sounds too much like the Czech Republic, like in the Chucky. Mark quickly replies, the Czech Republic is over there on Central Avenue, where the sanitarium is. Kathy laughs and adds, yeah. That whole sanitarium is the Czech Republic. Braden then comments, I bet nobody can guess where I'm from. Johnson replies, you're probably from the same place I'm from. Braden reveals, I'm from some place in Africa. But I don't know exactly where. Johnson replies, yeah. Me too. Braden announces, wherever the ass-kicking capital is in Africa, that's where I'm from. Wendy laughs and tells Braden, I would have never guessed. Braden asks, does anybody think they know where Wendy's from? Wendy replies, I do. Braden laughs and replies, yeah. But you don't count. Wendy replies, 1, 2, 3, 4. I count. Wendy then announces, I'm from the British Isles, mostly from England. Tessa observes, so far, Britain is winning. Kathy asks, who's next? No one volunteers, so Mark comments, it should be obvious where Bobby B. is from. Tessa replies, with a name like Bradshaw, he sounds British. Bobby B. laughs and quickly replies, you're not even close. Most people sitting around the table know Bobby B.'s nationality, or, more specifically, race. But there are a few who apparently do not. Bobby B. announces, Bradshaw isn't even my real last name. Tessa asks, give us a hint. What is your real last name? Bobby B. replies, it's Barkhan. My grandparents chose to be renamed at Ellis Island. Tessa thinks for a moment and tells Bobby B., that doesn't help me any. No one who doesn't know seems to know, so Mark spills the beans, announcing Bobby B. is Jewish. Tessa exclaims, I never knew that. Then, how come you go to church? Bobby B. replies, I'm a Messianic Jew. I follow Jesus. Kathy then asks, okay. So, who's left? Paula replies, Mitchell, Amber, and Erica. Mitchell announces, I'll give you guys a hint. Me and Barbara aren't the same. Mark comments, I can see that. You're a guy and she's a girl. And you have a first name for your first and last names. Barbara doesn't. Eddie recalls, when we were in school, in the beginning of the year, when the teachers would call the attendance, some of the teachers called him Mitchell Gary. Amber tells everyone, the same thing happened to me. Mark asks, what? They called you Mitchell Gary. Amber laughs and replies, no. The teachers called me Amy Amber. Mark asks, so, what is your ancestry, anyway? Amber replies, I'm a WASP, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And my family's ancestry is European, but no specific country. We're kind of a little bit of everything. Amber then tells the story, in high school, the teachers always messed up my first and last names too. I really got in trouble in Mr. O'Brien's class once. When he called the roll on the first day, he called the name Amy Amber. So, I didn't answer. Then he asked, does anyone know who Amy Amber is? And someone pointed to me and said, she's right there. So, Mr. Bryan asked me, young lady, are you Amy Amber? I told him, no. I'm Amber Amy. And if you looked at your class roll, I'm sure there's columns that are labeled last name and first name. So, he got all mad and told me that, if I continued with the sarcasm, I was going to end up in the principal's office. Everyone laughs, knowing that Amber's story sounds exactly like Mr. O'Brien. Wendy announces, now, it's Erika's turn. Without hesitation, Erica announces, I'm Austrian. Tessa replies, I would have expected something else. Erica replies, nope. Austrian from both sides. Eddie comments, I guess that explains why she always gets sausage on her pizza. Mark replies, and that explains why Paula always wants pepperoni on her pizza. Paula laughs and asks Mark, how does that explain anything? Mark replies, pepperoni is Italian. It ends in an I. Paula informs Mark, pizza is Italian. So, anything you put on a pizza still makes it Italian. Mark replies, oh, yeah. I guess so. Kathy suggests to Mark, don't argue with her. The Italian in her is in high gear tonight. Barbara smiles and asks Mitchell, how about you, Gary Mitchell? Or, was that Mitchell Gary? Mitchell replies, everyone knows you're my cousin. Barbara tells Mitchell, but tell them about your other half of the family. Mitchell replies, I'm half British heritage, like Barbara. But my dad is from Jamaica. Barbara informs everyone, for those of you who may not know, my mother and Gary's mother are sisters, and are from Britain. But everyone in the group knew that, especially Johnson, who always made it a point to inform Mitchell of Barbara's superior performance while in high school. Wendy mentions, I wish we knew all this about each other a long time ago. Mark replies, yeah, I know. None of us would have known that Braden and Johnson are from Africa unless they told us. Wendy tells Mark, now, you're being silly. Paula tells Wendy, Mark is always being silly. He doesn't take too much seriously. Mark replies, sure I do. Paula asks, oh, yeah. Like what? Mark replies, like building stuff the right way. Paula sighs and responds, okay. I stand corrected. Braden tells Mark, I got something else for you to build. Mark asks, what's that, bro? Braden explains, me and Wendy's house is on a half acre. I want you to build a wall around the backyard, like the one you and Eddie have. Mark asks, why do you want a wall? Braden replies, because I'm gonna put in a big patio, a barbecue area, a small pool, and a garden. Mark informs Braden, we can do that for you. Braden elaborates, me and Wendy want a small pool, not a big one like Eddie's. And it would be really nice to have a storage building in the back. I don't want the garage filling up with a bunch of shit. Mark recommends, on the left side of your house, we can put in a second detached garage. There's enough room. We can make the second garage 2 cars deep. We can tie the wall into the new garage and put a door in the back so you can keep all your pool stuff in there. Braden replies, that's a good idea. Why didn't I think of that? Mark advises Braden, put the pool in first, bro. Then, put in the hardscape and the garage. The last thing to go in is the wall. After lunch, the group gets in the water for a while to cool off. Paula, standing in the corner of the pool with Kathy and Barbara, tells Kathy, I think I'm all ready for your shower. This is like the first baby shower I've thrown. I hope I didn't forget anything. Kathy asks, did you send out the invitations? Paula replies, yeah. Barbara mentions, I received mine. Kathy tells Paula, see that? You're all ready. Everything will be just fine. Kathy mentions, I just hope the baby doesn't pop out before the shower. Paula assures Kathy, it won't, girl. Don't jinx it. Kathy mentions, well, we did have to wait until the university was back in session, and everyone is back from summer break. Paula tells Kathy, oh, by the way, Athena is coming to your shower. I got her RSVP the other day. Kathy replies, that's awesome. Barbara replies, oh good. Athena is really nice. I'm so excited that she's coming. Knowing Athena Layton for a while now, Paula suggests, you know, we should invite Athena to some of our parties. She seems really happy when she's with our group. Kathy agrees, stating, since she's been coaching track, she's really changed. When she's in the ivory tower, she really puts on an administrative persona. But we've seen the real Athena Layton. She was quite a different person at the beach that day. And at track practice, she always seemed to be having fun. Paula mentions, "Yeah, I know. I guess she got really tired of playing provost. I'm happy for her that she's going to be teaching and coaching track. It sounds like that's what she really wants to do." Suddenly remembering they were talking about babies, Paula mentions, "It seems like everyone's getting married. In no time, we're all going to be having babies." Kathy asks Barbara, "Have you and Eric set a date yet?" Barbara replies, "We haven't set an actual date yet, but it will be sometime next summer. We want our anniversary to be at a time when we're not teaching." Paula comments, "That makes a lot of sense." Kathy asks, "How long have you guys been engaged now?" Barbara replies, 2.5 years. Paula comments, "Wow. Life is going to be one party after another." Now curious, Barbara asks Kathy, "When did you and Eddie get engaged?" Kathy replies, "It's a secret." Barbara quickly tells Kathy, "Come on, girl. Spit it out." Kathy takes a deep breath and replies, "Okay. You guys can't laugh, though." Barbara assures Kathy, "We won't laugh." Paula quickly adds, "Unless it's really funny." Kathy reveals, "Me and Eddie got secretly engaged during the winter of my senior year in high school. But we didn't announce it until the next year, at Christmas." Barbara exclaims, "I never knew." Kathy replies, "We kept it a secret. So, then me and Eddie got married the summer after Eddie graduated from high school." Paula reminisces, "That was a really tough time. Mr. Crumb was always on the warpath." Kathy replies, "Yeah. He was really ticked off because the track team was winning everything and he couldn't make any money betting. That's when he tried to prevent Eddie from graduating." Barbara points out, "In retrospect, it all makes perfect sense." Paula comments, "I can't believe we didn't see it all back then." Kathy points out, "All we wanted back then was to be on the track team." Barbara mentions, "And we were all teenagers back then. We didn't know anything about gambling and rigging sporting events." Paula mentions, "Yeah, seriously. It even took Richard a while to put it all together." Kathy asks Barbara, "So, did you hear about Officer Hayes?" Barbara replies, "No. What's going on with Officer Hayes?" Kathy explains, "He got promoted to captain." "Oh, and Erika's father got promoted to police chief." Barbara exclaims, "That's awesome. He's a really good guy." Barbara then yells over to the other side of the pool, "Hey, Erika. Come here for a minute, please." Erika swims over and asks Barbara, "What's up?" Barbara replies, "I heard your father has been named police chief. Please give him my congratulations the next time you see him." Erika replies, "Yeah. He's really happy that he got the job. There were a few things going on in the police department that he wasn't too happy about." Now curious, Barbara asks, "Really? Like what?" With no shortage of news and opinion, Erika explains, "So get this. He's going to track down all the drug dealers and put them in jail where they should be. That's why Officer Hayes got promoted to captain, because he's really good at that. My father and Officer Hayes told the other guy, Chief Hansen, to leave the drug dealers out on the streets for a while so he can watch them and see who their connections are. Chief Hansen never liked that idea. He just wanted to put them away when they caught them. But my dad and Officer Hayes managed to convince him to not act so swiftly. And look at what happened." Kathy tells the group, "Yeah. They busted all those dope peddlers and found out about the gambling ring too." Erika replies, "Yeah. And if Chief Hansen had his way, Chucky, Goldshit, and the rest of them would have been put in jail right away, and Mr. Crumb would still be dealing drugs at the high school. Kathy comments, I can see that. Erica goes on to explain, and yeah, Kathy. They did the same thing with Dean Grimsby and the gambling ring. My dad and Officer Hayes let them gamble for a while. They watched everything closely for a year. Then, when Officer Hayes had everything figured out, they got the green light and moved in and busted that ring wide open too. Barbara tells Erica, it sounds like you're going to make a great police officer. Erica smiles and replies, I'm putting bullies in jail, like Chucky. Paula comments, you go, girl. Everyone remembers the altercations between Erica and Chucky while they were in high school. On the other side of the pool, Braden is telling a story to a few of the guys about what happened in the dorms over the summer. On duty at the time of the incident, Braden relates, a whole bunch of guys in the dorm got together and synchronized their watches to the second. So, then what they did is all go into different bathrooms and turn on the water. And they are all looking at their watches. Then, at the exact same time, they all turn the water off at once. Knowing something about plumbing, Mark laughs and comments, that couldn't have ended too good. Braden continues, it didn't. When they shut the water off, the pipes in the walls broke and there was water everywhere. That whole dorm was a mess in no time. Johnson asks, how long did that take to fix? Braden explains, it took about 2 or 3 weeks. Every time the plumbers thought they were done, another leak would show up. The problem is those guys in the dorm had no water for a few weeks. They had to take a shower and do their business in the dorm next to theirs. Eddie laughs and comments, I bet they won't do that again. Braden explains, that wasn't the end of the story. One of the guys, some guy named Casey, had a big mouth and told everyone what they did. So, the word got around, and Casey got called into the dean's office. Dean Beckman wanted to know who else was involved. Casey didn't want to talk, so Dean Beckman told him if he doesn't reveal who was in on it, his ass is getting expelled. So, the guy squealed, and it turns out there was like 2 dozen of them. Hoffer asks, did anyone get arrested? Braden replies, no. There ain't no law against 2 dozen people turning off water at the same time. So, there was nothing that I could do. So, I told Dean Beckman, it looks like this ass kicking is all up to you. And he looked at me and said, ass kicking. That's a unique way of putting it. So, I told him, yeah. If you don't kick their ass hard enough, they are just gonna do it again. So, all their asses got put on disciplinary probation. And they are gonna be picking up trash on the ground at the university all during fall semester. Hoffer comments, that's going to look really good in front of all the women during rush week. Braden laughs and replies, yeah. And the frat boys are all gonna find out about it and make a mess in the streets. Guess who's gonna be cleaning all that shit up? Mark comments, well, that stunt didn't go exactly as planned. Hoffer asks, what else happens around the campus that we don't know about? Braden laughs and replies, you wouldn't believe some of this shit. Once, these two guys get onto the tennis courts at night when it was dark. Mark informs Braden, it's always dark at night, bro. That's what makes it night. Laughing along with everyone else, Braden laughs and continues, so, they take their tennis ball and soak it with lighter fluid. Then, one of them set the ball on fire, and they hit the ball back and forth. And, this flaming ball of fire is going back and forth across the tennis court. Mark laughs and exclaims, wow. That must have been so weird. Braden continues, so, I pull over and walk onto the tennis court. I told them, you two guys better have a good explanation of why you're playing tennis with a ball that's on fire. One of the guys steps up and tells me, it's a new sport. It's called fire tennis. If the ball goes out when it's in your court, you give up a point. I told them, who do you think you're shitting? There ain't gonna be no fire tennis played around here. So, you might as well pack up and leave. Then, the other guy tells me, you can't make us leave. So, I told him, oh yeah. We'll see about that. So, I left, and padlocked the gate shut with them still on the inside. When I was walking back to my car, they started screaming, hey. Let us out. So, then I walk back and, all of a sudden, they both want to leave. Bobby B. comments, we'll have to try fire tennis sometime. Eddie replies, yeah. But not around the service station. Braden then shakes his head, stating, some of those freshmen are dumber than the Chucky. Mark asks, really? That's hard to believe. Braden replies, yeah. And, I don't even know why they call me out for half the shit that goes on around that university. They ought to have a psychiatrist on call 24 hours a day. Mark asks, really, bro? What are you talking about? Braden explains, one night, some senior called the police department, and she wanted an officer to come out to one of the dormitory's laundromats. So, I take the call and get to the laundromat. When I got there, it was no secret who had us called out. Mark asks, so, what was the problem? Braden explains, this girl was ticked off at some guy and was saying that he messed up her laundry and she had to do it all over again. Wondering how one person can mess up another person's laundry, Mark asks, what did the guy do to her laundry? Braden explains, I questioned the guy who said he walked into the laundromat to do his laundry. He said that, since his parents had a front-loading washing machine, he decided to use a front-loading washer. So, he put his clothes into the machine, threw his powdered laundry detergent in, and then closed the door. He put his money into the machine and, once it started, he realized he put his clothes and his detergent into a dryer. Mark exclaims, seriously? What a moron. Braden replies, yeah. But it doesn't end there. Braden then explains, now, get this. He takes his laundry out of the dryer and puts it in a washer and does his laundry. And all his laundry detergent is still sitting in that dryer. So, this woman puts her clothes into the dryer that still had a shitload of detergent in it. And his laundry detergent got all in her clothes, and she had to wash her clothes all over again. So, Harris got bent all out of shape, and she wanted him to pay for her having to do her laundry again. Mark asks, so, what did you do? Braden replies, I told both of them that stupidity is not a crime, and there's nothing that I can do. Then I told the guy, if I were you, I'd give her the money to do her clothes again. If you don't, she's gonna tell everyone on this campus what you did. And you ain't never gonna live that one down. You're gonna be hearing about that for a real long time. So, he gave her the money to do her laundry again, and I got out of there as fast as I can. I was afraid that she was going to kick his ass. Mark laughs and tells Braden, that was kind of funny. The guy still sounds smarter than the Chucky. The Chucky wouldn't have owned up to it. Braden replies, you got that right. Now curious, Mark asks, what else happens around the campus? Eddie replies, yeah. We wouldn't know. We never went to classes. Braden laughs and, beginning another story, explains, I was driving by the student center where that three-way stop is. A guy in blue overalls, who looked like a maintenance worker, was removing the stop sign where you come out of the parking lot. So, I radio the station and ask why the maintenance crew is removing that stop sign. I wanted to know because we just had that sign put up a month earlier. Hoffa comments, that's probably because there's a wreck at that intersection every month. Braden continues, the dispatcher radioed me back and told me they don't know anything about having that sign removed. So, I pulled over and questioned his ass. He tells me he's from the maintenance department, and the stop sign is being removed. I asked him, is that your truck parked on the sidewalk? He replies, yeah. So, I asked him, if you're from the maintenance department, Why is there a calculus book sitting on your front seat? So, the guy turns out to be a student, and he was stealing the sign. I threw the book at him. I put his ass away in the tank for the day. And then I impounded his pickup truck for parking on the sidewalk. Bobby B. asks, so, he was stealing the sign in broad daylight. Braden replies, yeah. And if I didn't happen to be in the area, he would have gotten away with it. Eddie laughs and replies, if you want to steal something, and it's out in the open, that's the way to do it. Braden agrees, saying, I know. If we all get dressed up in maintenance uniforms and walk into the administration building, ain't no one gonna question us or stop us. We can walk in there with a hand truck, walk into any open office, and wheel out a filing cabinet. And ain't no one gonna stop us. But if you try to pull a job like that at night, you'll get caught. Eddie mentions, whenever my dad walks into a building with his hard hat on, no one ever dares to question him. Mark agrees, commenting, I've seen that firsthand, especially if you have a clipboard in your hand. Eddie laughs, prompting Mark to ask, what's so funny? Eddie explains, my dad hired a painter to do a job once. When the painter was looking over what work had to be done, my dad noticed that, on his clipboard, it was written, walk fast, and look worried. Mark laughs and comments, I know what I'm writing on my clipboard. Eddie replies, yeah, bro. If you walk fast and look worried, they'll think they're getting their money's worth. A bit later, while everyone is tossing a ball back and forth in the pool, Paula throws out the question, so, what's next? Kathy asks, how do you mean? Paula replies, well, we're all kind of done with track. I'm not sure I want to train for 4 more years just to go to the Olympics. But I want to do something. Forcing someone to ask, Mark comments, I know what you guys can do. Kathy asks, oh yeah. What's that? Mark suggests, all you women can join the roller derby. Along with the laughter that breaks out, the guys clearly think the women joining the roller derby is a great idea. Kathy mentions, when I was in elementary school, the roller derby was on television Saturday afternoon, after the cartoons. If it was raining outside, I would watch. I always thought it was kind of funny. Paula exclaims, I know. Right? And some of those women looked mean. Kathy recalls, yeah. I remember once, one skater fell down, and the whole other team tripped over her and landed on her on purpose. Eddie, never having a television when he was growing up, asks, what exactly is the roller derby? Erica replies, don't tell me you've never heard of it. Eddie replies, I've heard of it, but I have no idea what it is. Mark explains, it's two teams of 5 women on the track on roller skates. I'm not sure what the rules are, but I think they try to lap each other. I'm not even sure that there are any rules. Erica tells everyone, the rules are complicated. But the only reason anyone watches the roller derby is to wait for a fight to break out. Erica tells Mark, there's rules, but if your team is way ahead, the rules don't matter to you. That's because, if you're way ahead, you can afford the penalty points. Tessa comments, it sounds like someone around here has looked into this before. Braden suggests, it sounds like to me that the roller derby is professional wrestling for women. Tessa informs everyone, if we're joining the roller derby, we'll have to come up with names for ourselves. Erica comments, it sounds like someone else knows a lot about the roller derby too. Having seen the roller derby before, Kathy suggests, my name will be Kathy Crusher. Paula claims, I'm Paula the Pulverizer. Somewhat familiar with the roller derby, Barbara asks, how does Barbara the Bouncer sound? Erica replies, that's a really good one. Claiming her name, Tessa announces, I'll be Train Wreck Tessa. A few more names are thrown around, as the ball is tossed from person to person. Erica incidentally notices a bottle of laundry detergent sitting next to the rock column, and asks, hey, Kathy. What's your laundry detergent doing outside? Haynes and Chucky brought a bottle of laundry detergent from the Red Universe earlier today and expected to dump it in the swimming pool. Totally forgetting about the evidence from this morning, Kathy replies, I was wondering where that was. I totally forgot about it. Getting back on the subject, Tessa asks Erica, so, what's your roller derby name going to be? Erica replies, mine is Hit and Run. Or, maybe Felony Melanie. Tessa laughs and exclaims, someone has definitely thought about this before. Giving her opinion, Kathy says, I like Hit and Run. Erica replies, now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. Hit and Run sounds a lot better. Later in the evening, when the party winds down, Wendy asks, when's our next party? Paula replies, 3 weeks from today. It's Kathy's baby shower. Bobby B. suggests, we can all hit the beach again before then. That doesn't take much planning. Eddie, who has always liked the beach, is quick to second the motion. So, next weekend, right before Johnson and Barbara have to get back to work, everyone will head to the beach again. And Paula offers to drive anyone wanting a ride in her new Volkswagen bus. Right before midnight, most everyone heads out, realizing that they've learned a lot about each other today that they've never knew. Mark and Paula hang around a little while longer to help Eddie and Kathy clean up around the pool area. Mark and Paula then head out, Mark driving Paula's June buggy, and Paula driving her new Volkswagen bus. Once everyone is gone, Eddie kisses Kathy and tells her, this is your normal life. Kathy replies, I like my normal life. Eddie and Kathy get back in the pool, where the water feels warmer now that the air is cooler. Kathy puts her legs around Eddie's hips as he moves around the pool, holding Kathy very tightly. Kathy looks up at the sky, looking for her star, knowing exactly where to find it. Finding Katarina's star where it's always been, Kathy closes her eyes and tells Eddie, I love you. Eddie whispers in Kathy's ear, I love you. Eddie takes a few laps around the pool with Kathy on his hips and her head on his shoulder. Eddie whispers to Kathy, are you awake? Kathy doesn't answer, thereby answering Eddie's question. After taking a few more laps around the pool with Kathy on his hips, Eddie walks up the steps to the sun shelf and out of the pool. The cooler air wakes Kathy up, who asks, where am I? Eddie whispers to Kathy, we're home. We're going to bed now. Kathy whispers, yeah. I'm also sleeping for two. Eddie walks inside, with Kathy by his side. Still half asleep, Kathy, with Eddie's help, does her best to get ready for bed. Eddie and Kathy kiss goodnight. Eddie turns off the light and whispers to Kathy, sweet dreams, sweetie.